Tonight we are going to start looking at the subject of healing. Healing. Say with me, healing belongs to me. Health is mine in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And you know, the scripture that we focused on in looking at, I think our authority in Christ, Philemon 6. Look at Philemon 6 one more time, because that's a scripture that we need to revisit over and over again. Philemon 6. So let's read verse 4 and 6. Verse 4 says, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. Verse 6 says, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. The sum total of the good things that is inside a believer can be expressed as Christ. In other words, we don't find out every good thing which is in us by referring to our experience. We don't find out every good thing that's in us by looking at circumstance or situation. Those can lie, those can deceive, those can be misleading. But the Bible says that the communication of our faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in us in Christ Jesus. And we, over different teachings, we've defined what the word acknowledgement means. So acknowledge there means to have full insight. Okay? It means to have complete comprehension of good things which are in you in Christ Jesus. That presupposes, therefore, that what, so to speak, strengthens a believer's faith, because a believer already has faith or he won't be a believer, is that comprehension of those facts actually causes our faith to be effectual. It means comprehension gives direction to our faith. You are able to lay hold. You are able to exercise your faith. So in the absence of comprehension, faith is present, but faith can work. Hallelujah. So that's why in the local assembly, we spend much time teaching. Why are we teaching? To bring you into a comprehension. What you don't know, your faith can act upon. It is only the things that you know, and you know well, not in a passing way, or in a flippant manner, that which you are soundly established in, automatically inspires confidence, and it makes your faith effective. So when it says, I'm praying that the communication of your faith will become effectual, the major prayer there is not about your faith. The major prayer there is about comprehension. Say comprehension. So there are things I need to comprehend. I need to see things in the light of how they really are, not how my experiences necessarily are. It's going to be difficult to prove every aspect of God's word by experience, because there are some experiences we're going to have that won't line up. That is a given. And so we have to look at God's word to determine what should our experiences be. That's why in this area of healing, it's so important. A believer can have his faith effectual in the area of provision. A believer can have his faith effectual in the area of ministering to others. A believer can have his faith effectual in the area of his career or chosen profession. But that your faith is effectual in one area doesn't mean it's effectual in every area. Every other area has to do with what have you been acknowledging. And acknowledging means that have you comprehended the good things that is in Christ Jesus, which automatically is in you in that particular area. So in the area of health, you have faith, but your faith won't be effectual if there are no facts for your faith to work on or to act upon. You know, it's interesting, over a period of time since we started growing up, our five physical senses have been trained to relate with our environment, and they're doing their job. Also, we have been trained to believe certain authority figures in our lives. So if a doctor says, this is the condition that you have, for instance, without necessarily having the understanding of how the doctor arrived at that fact, you just believe the doctor. Because you believe the doctor is an authority in that area. Okay? Now, so also, when it comes to the word of God, The one of God never sees what is not. God never speaks of what he hasn't made available. So when the Bible says that the communication of our faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing, it's trying to tell us that there are several good things in many areas. That you have been a Christian for 20 years doesn't mean that you have comprehended every good thing that's available. There are believers who have their faith strong in area of protection. You can't have your faith strong in any area except you have been busy acknowledging certain details and facts in that area. There are some people who have Psalm 91 memorized. If you wake them up in the night, they can quote it. And because they've said it so many times, they thought about it so many times, it's an unconscious faith. Unconscious says that they are not even actively believing for protection. Protection is just there because it has become an unconscious exercise of faith. Hallelujah. So in the area where you have acknowledged, your faith will work more in that area. Here's the problem. That your faith is not working in other areas may make you think it means you don't have faith. That's deception. You do have faith. So what you do to a believer is that you give him facts to aid his comprehension in any area. In any area where light is absent, faith will find it difficult to be exercised. Hallelujah. So as we look at the subject of healing, say healing belongs to us. It's so important. And I'm deliberately starting this way, because healing, it must dawn upon you. It must be settled in your heart that healing is a right. It's something that God has apportioned for you. It's not something God is going to give you. It's something that has been given you already. It's so important. But again, just saying that way doesn't make it register. It's as we look at facts in God's word. Because every other area where your faith has been effectual is because facts were presented to you. And so your faith was able to stand upon those facts and become effective. So the same principle in every other area. I've seen people who are strong when it comes to ministering healing to others. It means healing as a ministry to them, their faith is effectual. But experiencing healing in their personal lives, their faith is not effectual. Is that possible? Oh, yes. Okay, in the days of the healing revival, we had ministers who died of sickness, who healed thousands of people. Because they primarily ministered healing by a gift. But when it came to receiving healing, they were meant to exercise faith in God's power that was available. So can somebody die or fail to receive in the presence of great power? Oh yes. Because again, faith is what takes hold of God's power. And that faith is something that becomes effectual as you acknowledge. Hallelujah. Everything. Third John and verse 2. We will start there tonight and we will continue. Third John and verse 2. If you're there, say amen. It says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." Let me read that again. It says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." The word prosper there means to have a safe passage. It's like to succeed in the venture you have embarked upon, to come out right. To have a safe passage, to succeed in the venture you have embarked upon. So when it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper," the word "wish" there that is translated in the King James is a bit stronger than "wish." A better word would be "I pray." John was writing to a man called Gaius, my beloved Gaius. So he was writing to a sinner and says, "One of my foremost prayer, in fact my utmost prayer for you, is that you prosper and you abide in health." The word "be" there means you abide in health. In other words, health should not be an occasional matter for you. He says, "My prayer for you is that you abide in health." He says, "even as your soul prospers." So he's speaking about two different things there. The first thing is that I pray above all things. That prayer is a prayer that it speaks about the fact that I'm not praying what is not, I'm praying about what already is. And I'm praying that what already is available for you in Christ, you experience it. Hallelujah. That you experience it. I pray above all things that you will prosper and be or abide in health, even as your soul prospers. So there is something about praying for a believer to abide in health, there's also something about understanding that it is the will of God that you and I enjoy health all our days. You know, I heard someone say this, and it makes sense. He says, if under a faulty covenant, one of the most pronounced revelations of God to the nation of Israel was the fact that I am the Lord that healeth thee. One of the most profound revelations of God to the nation of Israel. And they had a faulty covenant. And that was a revelation that came to them just before they received the law. It means the minute they left Egypt, which is, passing through the Red Sea, is a type and shadow of what it means to come out of spiritual death. Okay? It's a form of salvation. You know, to pass through the Red Sea means they had to pass through waters, isn't it? You know, there are two. I hope you understand that in the Old Testament, they passed through waters. Which what's the first one? Red Sea. What's the second one? Jordan. Okay, so what does the Red Sea represent? It's a type of salvation. They were delivered from their enemies. And then God now told them, the Egyptians that you see today, you will see them no more. Okay, that's a parallel of Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. Who has delivered us from the authority of darkness and has translated us? The word delivered there means that somebody delivers you and doesn't put you in a vacuum, delivers you to himself. So he brought you out of something and plugged you into something else. That means that when he took you out, you had a nature, you had a master where you were coming from. You were now taken from that master and you were given another master. But the way you were given this master is such that everything that master has, you also have. So who has delivered us from the authority of darkness and has translated us in the name of his dear son? The one delivered there means something that was done in an irreversible manner. It can't be reversed. So when he told them that the gifts you see today, you see no more, it was a type. Hallelujah. You understand? Of what it means to be born again. Then when you now get to the River Jordan into Canaan land, what does River Jordan stand for? Well, that's another baptism, in that sense. That's where the renewal of the mind takes place. Okay? So you've been saved. The next water is the water that signifies the renewal of your mind. Because why they need their minds renewed? Remember that when they were in the wilderness, until they got to the brink of Canaan, manna fell every day. But when they crossed over to Canaan, manna stopped falling. So they now needed to change their mind from a slave mindset to ownership mindset. You understand? You understand? Beautiful. So, say I'm no longer a slave. I'm a son. If I'm a son, I'm an heir. A joint heir with Christ Jesus. You can't be a heir without having ownership rights. To be a heir means you own something. Heir means there's a title deed that belongs to you. So they needed to change their minds. So the River Jordan was a kind of baptism. It was to signify a renewal of their mind, that they are now no longer slaves, but they are now experiencing everything that God had what promised them. Amen. And that's why in the promised land they are giants. So Canaan land, it's not the type of heaven. Because in heaven there are no giants. Canaan land is a type and a figure of the promises of God. Okay? And the promise of God, you stand on it by faith. So you meet giants, even though they are promises. And the promises are meant to help you overcome the giants. Because the promises are still given, even though they are giants. That's what Psalm 23 means. Thou prepares a table before me in the presence of my... Hallelujah. I think one day we should do all these type of shadows. You understand all these things. When you hear things like the house of Saul grew weaker, the house of David, it's all types and shadows. It's all speaking and pointing to what God accomplished in Christ. Once you understand that's the theme that runs through, you will not see some of those happenings as just my Bible book of stories. You will now understand that God has been trying to communicate salvation to them for a long time. For a very, very long time. One day we look at, why were they giving manna? You know, to you, manna sounds like a miracle, isn't it? Was it a miracle? Was it a miracle? It was. Ah. You just wake up and the thing just gathered around. Was it a miracle? But it wasn't God's best for them. That's the trust part. Why were they giving manna for 40 years? Because they refused to go to the promised land. If you were giving manna for 40 years, you too will be tired. You will complain. Imagine somebody giving you bread every day. Only bread. No rice, no chicken. So when they complained that they wanted meat, there was no variety. Why when they came, God wanted them to learn a lesson. Did I not bring you out to take you in? When I brought you out, why do you say you are not going in? So manna is the food you give to people who refuse to enter their inheritance. Hallelujah. The same thing, monotony until you say, I give up. Let's go. You understand? But that's not a subject. So it says, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as also what? Prosper. So the intent of God is that every single believer should abide in health. You have to see it as God's permanent will for you. Even the Old Testament, that's Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. See how God introduced himself to them. Exodus 15, verse 26. That's the Old Testament. And said, if thou will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and I will keep all statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am what? The Lord that healeth thee. Of course, when he says, I will put none of these which I put, the original translation is permissive, which I allowed to come. I didn't put it on them, I allowed it to come upon them. I will allow none of these to come upon you. Why? I'm the Lord that healeth thee. That word healeth also means I'm the one who prevents you from getting sick. Glory to God. So, if under an old covenant, God spoke to them and revealed himself as the one who was responsible for their health, and they enjoyed that health as long as they stood by the statutes of God, how much more under a new covenant that's established upon better promise? Hebrews chapter 8. We're looking at facts in God's word. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. Hebrews 8. But now has he obtained one, a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of one, a better, say better, which was one established upon better promises. So why is it a better covenant? Because it was established upon better promises. How is it established upon better promises? Because it was also initiated by a better sacrifice. So honor a testament that was, so to speak, sustained by animal sacrifices. God still said, I am the one that heals you. And the children of Israel depended upon God as their healer, and they experienced healing. And that was an imperfect covenant. It was faulty. Because the law now doesn't exonerate anyone. The law always accuses men. But they still experience health and healing. And God said, I am the Lord that heals you. It means that if there's any area that God wants to be known, he wants to be known in that area of healing and health and wholeness. That this is something that God is personally responsible for. It's something God does. He doesn't just have the ability. He has done something about it. Glory to God. So he says we have a better covenant established upon what? Better promises. Better promises there doesn't mean something futuristic. It simply means that that which has been fulfilled, that which you now walk in. Hallelujah. So what we have now is superior to what they even had. And yet what they had, we have the testimony of scriptures of people getting healed under that kind of covenant. And the power of God was at work. And we have testimonies all through the Gospels of people who received mightily of God's healing power. John chapter 14. We're just introducing today John chapter 14. Let's see what Jesus said. In John's Gospel chapter 14, I want to read from verse 6. See what Jesus said. John's Gospel chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto who? The Father, but by me. Okay, so in other words, you're saying, I am the way to the Father, I am the truth about the Father, I am the very life of the Father. And no man can come to the Father. To come to the Father means no one can become a son. The only way you can come to the Father is as a son. You can't come to the Father any other way. So come to the Father means you have to be a son. So Jesus is saying, I am the way, you become a son. I am the truth about sonship. I am the very life that makes you a son. Hallelujah. Do you understand? Does that make more sense now? Okay, so where you see, come to the Father, there's no way to come to the Father except you are a son. You can come to God. You can't come to the Father. You didn't say Father here. You didn't say God, I said Father. So when you hear Father, only sons can come. Only sons have audience. Do you understand? So remember in the book of John, is where Jesus said some of these most deepest things that he wanted to communicate. And because John wrote after some epistles had been written, so he had more light on a lot of things that Jesus said. So let's read for that. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us, or it's sufficient evidence for us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet has thou not known me, Philip? Listen carefully to what I'm about to say. He that hath seen me will see the Father. I want you to see whether, is that what they said? He that has seen me will see the Father. He that has seen me as what? Seen the Father. That is not a light statement. In other words, if you are going to see God in action, you look at Jesus. Jesus is trying to communicate something important. That the invisible God that the Israelites have always worshipped is now made manifest in the flesh. Everything you want to know about him that can be seen, you already seen it in me. It means you can't see more than you can see me. I'm the perfect expression of the Father. So whatever I go about doing is 100% expression of the Father's will. That's what Jesus is saying. Whosoever has seen me has seen the Father. As we don't begin to tell them, even if you don't believe me, believe the works that I do. The works that I do are not mine, that the works that the Father has committed to my hands. What works was he talking about? He was talking about healing the sick. He was talking about healing the sick. And as we go on, one of the things I saw in the Gospels that you have to avoid being familiar with the Scriptures. Familiarity with the Scriptures does comprehension. You have to avoid it. So there are many Scriptures you say I've read before. If you don't pay attention, you will miss a lot of details. It is interesting, from the stories of the healings that took place in the Gospels, how people didn't really struggle to receive healing from Jesus. Remember, Jesus said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Then I noticed it wasn't that people were confessing for weeks to get healed. They just went to him and received. We now had some that were recorded so that we will comprehend that some people use principles, like the woman with the issue of blood, so that we can understand. But it's interesting that we didn't have people who had weeks of preparation. Weeks of preparation. They have been preparing for a long time. They say it will soon come. 2 months time, we're old crusade. I've been waiting. There was no story like that. They didn't struggle to receive. They just understood. Israel understood one thing, that Jehovah heals. And if Jehovah was going to be represented by anyone, that person must have a healing ministry. It was clear. If it was the same Jehovah that their fathers worshipped, then that person who mentions that he's representing Jehovah, if he doesn't heal, is a liar, is a fraud. That's why you can summarize the ministry of Jesus in two words. He preached and he healed. It's amazing. That's somebody. He just preached and he healed. And there was no record in the four Gospels that he ever said no to anyone who wanted healing. Not once. Now, pay attention to that. Because we're talking about a faulty covenant where people received without exception. Say without exception. It's important. I'm taking pains because sometimes we have listened to certain wrong teachings and has made us believe that there's a process, sometimes a lengthy one, that we need to go through before we can receive healing. Without exception means there was not a single person who came and Jesus ever said, your case is special, come back next Tuesday. Not one single person. Even those who had issues with, is this the will of God? Jesus attended to them. Look at Mark chapter 1. See, healing belongs to us. Mark chapter 1 verse 14. Mark chapter 1 verse 14. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and leaning down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou can one make me clean. Do you notice that? Look at the actions of the leper. The leper came. The leper, the word beseech means he begged him. He appealed him. The leper kneeled down. That means he worshipped. Look at next thing. And saying, so the man had faith. Let me go through it again. Notice the matter begged him. He first came, so he must have expected something. The next thing, what he besought him, and then he knelt and he worshipped, and saying unto him, If you will, you can. What is that expression? They never had doubt about God's ability to heal. Why did they say, if you will? That is the problem with the law. The law doesn't make men bold. The law makes men aware of sins. So he didn't know if Jesus was willing. Why did he come? He knew Jesus had the power. And this is the kind of prayer, because this is a reflection of how the Israelites approached God mostly under the law. They were sure of the ability of God. A number of them were always sure of receiving. So this man said that, if you will, you can. I don't have a problem with your being able to. I know you had, you understand? You can. Of course, obviously, he has had. Look at what Jesus said next. And Jesus moved the word, compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. So Jesus, in ministering to the person, did two things. He extended the power, but he needed to do something else to make the power manifest in the man's body. Or something else, he now said, I will. Or he demonstrated his willingness in words and in what? Action. Be thou clean. What could have stopped the man from receiving? The question mark, if you will. I know you can. Hallelujah. So the understanding of the Jew is that the same God of the Old Testament, they didn't understand that Jesus was God in the flesh. They didn't understand that. But they understood that Jesus was a prophet. And they understood that if it's a prophet that's representing God accurately, and he really came from Jehovah, healing must be part and parcel of his ministry. So they were not strangers to God's healing power. What was the difference? This is God manifest in the flesh. And as God manifests in the flesh, what was his major approach to people? He preached and he healed. To prove this one thing, Jehovah is still the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and one, forever. He's still in the healing business. So you can't really separate healing from God. God and healing go together. In fact, the Bible describes how God demonstrates his goodness. Healing is a major way of demonstrating his goodness. Now, the God that healed thee. That's present tense continuous. That's like reading that, like God's CV. This is one of the things that God does repeatedly and continuously for you to understand. So when Jesus told them, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Even if you don't believe me for the very works. Watch works. He was talking about healing. So if you can see the works, you can tell this must be the Father at work. Healing is a demonstration of the Father's goodness. Hallelujah. That's what it is a demonstration of the Father's goodness. Glory to God. Matthew chapter 15. Because it's important that we see the stories that we have here, or the testimonies that we have here, they keep pointing our attention to something. And that something is the fact that without exception, everyone that received healing in the days of Jesus were all sinners. So if they were receiving healing, they couldn't be receiving it on the platform of righteousness. They were simply receiving it because they were children of Abraham and by faith. Hallelujah. And there was not a single one that Jesus ever refused. But look at this passage. Matthew chapter 15, verse 22. I'm sure we know the story. And behold, the woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously what? Vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cried after us. In that same phrase, he cried after us, means that there was a persistence about this woman. So number one, this woman must have known what Jesus represented, or she wouldn't have come. The daughter she was referring to, she didn't bring. But she came to Jesus, knowing Jesus had what it took to deliver the daughter. So she came to him asking for something she knew was resident in Jesus. That means information must have reached her. That means she had knowledge. So she came, and she was so persistent that even the disciples got tired. Send this woman away. The way she's following us, and she's been crying after us for a while. That what cry means that she was persistently making her desire known. See what it says. But verse 20, he answered another one, and Sabus came and besought him, saying, "Send away, for she cried after us." But he answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lordship of the house of Israel," which means that my primary assignment is to reach across to the Israelites. Look at the next verse. Then came she. Now, notice that she did not turn back when Jesus said that. It means she knew something. She must have known that definitely whatever she's looking for is resident with the person she's coming to meet. You see, then she came and she worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me. Help me." Look at the next verse. But he answered and said, "It is not me to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." What was she asking for? What was she asking for? Healing. What did Jesus call it? The one? Children's bread. Notice that that phrase is a figure of speech. Children's bread simply refers to a father and children. Notice the children do not determine availability of bread. It is the parents that determine the availability of bread. Bread there refers to what the parent or the father prepares for the children. Okay? So Jesus now said, "It is not meet or right to take the children's bread and to one cast it to dogs." That word dog is a reference to anyone who is outside of the covenant of Israel, who doesn't belong to the covenant of Abraham. Okay? In the days of Jesus, before the new covenant, it meant those who don't belong to the covenant that Israel had with God. Okay? In the New Testament, you find that word again, but it doesn't mean the same thing. The word dog in the New Testament refers to those who don't believe in the gospel. Hallelujah. You understand that explanation? Okay, so back here, now Jesus said that it is not right to take what is a portion for the children. And Jesus is talking about healing. He says it's something God has provided for his children. Say with me, healing in the children's bread. I am a son of God. And healing belongs to me. An interesting part is this. Jesus was not even speaking about New Testament sonship. He was talking about those who are children of Abraham by faith. He said, "Healing is children's bread. Is some father provides for those who belong to that covenant." That's what he was saying. So when he says, it's not right to give it to dogs or to those who don't belong in that covenant. But the woman came by faith. She was persistent. And she was asking. And by saying what she said, Jesus wasn't insulting her by just calling her a dog. She understood what the word dog means. In English, it's an insult. In the spirit, it simply means you don't have normal access to what you are asking for. So the woman took another route because her faith was persistent. What was the route? She now said, "True." Look at next verse. The Bible recorded this story obviously for a reason. Look at next verse, verse 20. She said, "Truth, Lord," which is, "It's true, I'm a dog. It's true, healing is children's bread. But there's something I've observed. The dogs can steal it of the crumbs. Which what? Fall." In that statement, look at Jesus' response to the woman. Let's read further, verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "Oh woman, great," say "great," "is thy faith." Why did Jesus say that? Think about it. Jesus said to her, "It is not right to give the children's bread to dogs." Healing is children's bread. The woman said, "Well, if we're using illustration of bread, usually there are crumbs that will fall. The children sit at the table. That's their place. Everybody knows the place of the dog is under the table. Nobody can keep the dog away from there. So it's okay if the dogs have access to the crumbs. Because I'm positive, whatever the bread we do, the crumbs we do also." That's why Jesus said the greatest of faith. That means she was so sure about the potency of the bread that he said, "If it's crumbs you can give me I will take. Is sufficient." And she stayed. She didn't go. It means she stood by her words. And that's why Jesus said it's great faith. The greatness of the faith is in what she believed and what she stood for. She did not change her mind. Jesus says, "You finally found a way to get this thing. Go your way. Your daughter is made whole." Hallelujah. It means she didn't give up. Now, look at it this way. When she was asking, "Was her daughter healed?" No. Did she believe that Jesus had what will heal her daughter? Yes. So what did she do? She kept saying. If you put this side by side with Mark chapter 11, 23 and 24, it will make more sense. Because many times, this woman, listen carefully, she is not one of the children of Abraham by faith. Healing is a children's bread. It is something God gives to the children. It means that once you are a child of Abraham by faith, it's something that God has provided. You are not just a child of Abraham by faith. You are a son of God in reality. Hallelujah. Let's leave that aside. We'll come back to it. But look at it this way. If healing is something that God gives us, normal provision for the children, the woman was able to get what she wanted by simply using the principles of faith. And the difference between you and that woman, number one, is that you are not a dog. That's number one. Number two, you don't need great faith. Hallelujah. If you're a parent here, how many of you do you have children who use great faith to eat food every morning at the table? Do they even know how you provide the food? Do they even know when you go and buy it? How many of you have children who are praying the night before that tomorrow morning I pray my parents will put food on the table? No, that's your own headache. Their own business is to dispose of the food that you have prepared. That's their own business. Their own part is that you are going to provide. You will always provide. They have never had, there's no food. So they will just wait for you to serve the food. Are they using faith? Yes, in an unconscious manner. You can't call it grief because it's unconscious. Why? It is their right. So they don't beg for it. It comes by reason of relationship. What was that woman practicing? Mark chapter 11. Look at Mark chapter 11. And can a believer practice the same? Yes. Not what the woman did, but the principles behind what she did. Look at what Mark chapter 11. For many I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this man, be now removed, be now cast into the sea. And somebody said this, and I paid attention to it. You know, because if you read the previous verse, she said, have the faith of God. Or have God kind of faith. Well, the truth of the matter is that the only people who have the God kind of faith are believers. Hallelujah. The only people who have the God kind of faith are believers. Say, have the God kind of faith. Okay. So he says, whosoever shall say unto this man, then be thou one removed, and be thou cast into sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe that you want, receive them, and you shall have them. Verse 23 explains verse 24. Or verse 24 will make sense when you understand the principle of verse 23. What's the principle of verse 23? Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, the whosoever there is, whosoever have the faith of God. So I say unto the man, be thou removed that can sin, and shall not doubt in his heart. Why does he put that small clause? Shall not doubt in his heart. Because whatever it is he's saying, he's not yet seeing it. Let me take a step back. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed without cutting sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Why did he put that phrase? Because whatever it is that you are seeing, you have not yet seen the results. He now says, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said, not which he has said. Which he said, not which he has said. Which he said means he just keeps speaking. Which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he has kept saying. So when he says, but shall not doubt in his heart, he's actually saying that you are saying it, you are not yet seeing evidence, but you believe what you are saying will come to pass. If you understand, let me see. Let me say it another way. What is the prayer of faith in verse 24? Whosoever shall, what sins soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. The prayer of faith is the prayer you pray to receive in spite of the fact that you can't see evidence. Do you know that's why it is right for you to say, because of the testimony of God's word, that I am healed and your head is still aching and you are correct? And there's nothing wrong with your prayer. Should I say that again? Should I say that again? The challenge we have is this. We don't know what prayer of faith is. It's called prayer of faith. It means prayer of unseen realities. Unseen realities means that it is not seen realities. If it's seen realities, faith is not required. When I get them tonight, I will eat. I'm not praying for it. What may require prayer is if I want to eat or not. Why? I'm not going to pray to eat because food will be waiting. I don't even get it. Now, if food is not sure, or I'm going to, let's say, Song Water tonight, and I'm going by public transport, I may need to use my faith to believe that when I get to the bus stop, I'll get the right vehicle at the right time, because other people will be hustling for the same vehicle I'm going to get into. So I need faith for that. Do you hear something? Now, so the similar, why do we call it prayer of faith? Because it's something you are praying for and you believe you receive, even though there's no evidence. That is why it is not wrong for you to, in fact, that is why it's called prayer of faith, because there's no evidence, and there's no evidence of your healing. That's why it's prayer of faith. That means, though your head is still throbbing, or legs is paining you, or the stomach is still aching, you are still right. It's called prayer of faith. Some of us think that it's no longer faith if there's no manifestation. That's not what the prayer of faith is. That's why it's called prayer of faith, because there's no manifestation. But keep, the woman kept saying what she was saying. The daughter wasn't yet well until the daughter got well. She just kept saying. So she kept, she spoke 3 times. She kept saying. Verse 23 is emphasis on what you are saying. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea. Notice it doesn't say, whosoever shall say, mountain does not exist. I am not sick. It doesn't take sickness away. That's positive confession. He has no power. Positive confession doesn't have any power. How are you feeling? I'm strong. We'll give you work that you can't do. Because you don't know what confession of faith is. And that's part of the challenge. Many times we don't know what confession of faith is. We think that we are not walking in faith when we say we're not feeling well. You're not feeling well is you simply informing me about the way your feelings are. It doesn't negate the fact that you believe that you are healed. I'm not feeling well. Feeling and faith are not on the same platform. I'm not feeling fine, but I believe. You have just spoken from a different path. If you understand what I'm saying. So, I'm not feeling fine. As I'm speaking to you, my head is aching. But I believe I'm healed in the name of Jesus. That's evidence of unseen realities. That's what just happened. That is totally scriptural. See what Jesus said before he went to the cross. The Son of Man shall be taken by the hands of sinners, and they shall crucify him, but on the third day shall rise again. He was not here listening. He didn't change his confession when he got to the cross. It is finished. It is finished. I am finished. Nothing's happening again. The suffering is much. I'm not doing it again. He said was emotion before he went to the cross. He kept speaking while he was on the cross. He was speaking as he went to the depths of the grave, to hell. Psalm 22 records to us what he was saying. Psalm 16 records more of what he was saying. It means Jesus spoke all the way through till he came out. Why? Whosoever shall say shall not doubt, but shall believe that those things which he is still saying, he is still saying it. So some of us think that because I confess that I believe and I receive healing from this headache and the headache hasn't gone, it means my faith has not worked. No. That's why it is faith you are using. It means that in realm of feeling, you are not feeling fine. In realm of faith, you believe that you are well. So one reality takes over another. That's the way it works. When he says, I shall not doubt in his heart, he is telling you the evidence before you can bring doubt. How do you prove you don't doubt? Because you just keep saying. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I hope it's clear now. So he said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be now removed without cast in the sea. So the person recognizes there is a mountain. Don't do self-denial. There is a mountain. And we say, Mother, should I go to the hospital for checkup? Very rarely have I said no. Because going for checkup doesn't put the sickness there or take it away. You see, if I go for checkup now, they will just, that means I've just confirmed that I am sick. No, even if you don't go. If you are feeling sick, you are feeling sick. The going didn't put the sickness there. You know, it's very funny way we think. If I just go, as though the going just, as I'm going, they just gave it to me. No. It was a feeling you were feeling before that made you say, let me go and do test. Test just to confirm what you are using your faith for. That's all. Hallelujah. That's all it is. And it's important that on a daily basis, we start doing this. Now, why? Remember your faith. Say, my faith works for me. How many people have gotten results with their faith in certain areas? Let me see. Notice that you cannot be a believer without getting results with your faith in certain areas. So the question is this: you don't need more faith. You just need more fact in another area to get the same result. That's all. That means the measure of attention you give to God's word in that area, what are you getting? More facts. What will happen to your faith? It becomes effective in that new area which you are now focusing on. Some of us, our faith in career, the faith you have for career is serious. Some of us, the faith we have for ministering to people is serious. 23 years ago, the first time I got sick. And I've been ministering healing to people. I was very angry. Why? Bishop of God, I've healed the sick, many of them. Why am I sick? It was a wake up call that I was healing them by my faith. That's faith for ministry. That's healing as a sign. I forgot I wasn't working on my faith for my own personal healing. And I only received healing as a son myself. It was a serious wake up call. Because you can be deceived in thinking that since you are getting that kind of result, it means that it works in all areas. No. You've not acknowledged it for yourself. The faith it takes to minister healing to people is different from the faith it takes for you to receive healing for yourself. Because you are ministering as a minister because you believe you have a call. But to receive healing means that you believe that as a child of God, healing belongs to you. Glory to God. So can you see there's a difference? There is a difference. There's a difference. So whosoever shall say shall not doubt. Shall not doubt. So he's saying, though you see the evidence to the contrary, you still don't stop saying what you are saying because your faith is expressed by what you are saying. So shall not doubt means that the evidence to the contrary is present. Why is it faith? Because you ignore that evidence and you are still saying what you are saying. What are you doing? You are acknowledging another kind of evidence. Do you have that evidence? Yes. How do you receive that evidence? Through the authority of God's word. Whosoever shall say and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those who say shall come to pass. So the woman was persistent. The woman stayed. She expressed her desire, which was her faith. That's why Jesus said, great is thy faith. Because she kept pressing and she didn't change, even though the healing wasn't immediately manifest in her daughter. Or Jesus said, go, thy daughter is whole or is healed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, again, that is someone receiving healing from Jesus by going. Now, Mark chapter 11, verse 23-24 is how a believer can use his faith to receive the healing that already belongs to him where? In Christ. Why? Healing is the children's bread. Now, again, let me put it this way. Healing is children's bread means that healing is not something God is going to give. Healing is something God has given. Now, if you understand that, you will know why it can be scriptural for a believer to say, I don't know why God won't heal me. It's like saying, I don't know why God won't save me or why God is here to save me. No. Everything that is required for every man on earth to be saved has been wrought in Christ. Much more those who have now received Christ, they have received the abundance of grace and a gift of righteousness. Hallelujah. In that abundance of grace, your healing and health is there. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. To be means to abide in health, even as your soul prospers. So abiding in health is God's will for you. It's one of God's provisions for you. And if under a faulty covenant, they could enjoy, they could experience. God manifest in the flesh, which is Christ Jesus, displayed it in every facet of life. Every single facet of life. He displayed it. This is the Father's will. These are the Father's works. Even if you don't believe in for the very work's sake. So the works you're seeing is a demonstration of Father's intent. That God's intention is always to heal. Guess what? Not just sons, to heal everyone that requires healing. Why? It is wired into God's character and God's nature. So there should never arise in the mind of a believer that there may be exceptional cases where God doesn't want you well. It should never arise. It's impossible. It can't happen. the provision for healing that you have in Christ is such that, let me put it this way, figure of speech now, okay, illustration rather. If God doesn't want you to receive, he can't stop you, because he gave it to you in Christ. And as long as you're in Christ, it is yours to receive anytime. That means God didn't mark a particular day for reception. You are the one who determines the day for reception. Glory to God. The greatest miracle a man can experience is salvation in Christ. Ask yourself, how many seconds did it take for you to receive Christ? And the greatest miracle took place. In split seconds, it took place. So every other thing is inferior to that. And when you receive Christ, you receive healing, wholeness, long life, protection. Everything came as a total package. You cannot say, I want only Christ. Later when I'm ready, you can give me healing. You can give me health. You can give me wisdom. No, Christ has made unto us all wisdom and sanctification and redemption. Glory to God. So it's important that you acknowledge it's not something God is going to do. Because now as your father, he has made it available as part of your right and privileges in Christ Jesus. In as much as you can't trace sickness in Christ, there should be no sickness in you. Somebody says, Pastor, but why then do we fall sick? That's another subject matter. Which we will look at. Because people have asked, Pastor, why? Okay. It's not I don't have faith, but as in, why do we even, we should never fall sick at all. And there's a reason why we do. You were saved. And the salvation that is presently manifest is the salvation of your spirit, isn't it? Your soul is undergoing salvation, which is renewal of your mind. Guess which part of you interfaces with this fallen world? Your body. So your body is a platform that is exposed to the fallen nature that is in the environment. Germs, bacteria, all those things. So you will need to appropriate or take hold of what you have spiritually to nullify the effect of those things in your body. I was trying to explain something to somebody one day. I said, the person kept treating malaria almost on a monthly basis. So, and I told the person, I said that you are exposed to the same conditions regularly. Your house still doesn't have a net. Every single night you are still beating by the same mosquitoes. So it's automatic that it's every month you'll be treating it. The only way you can escape is this. You use net for your house, which you can control. Or you try to banish mosquito from your area, which takes more faith. Choose one. You can control how many mosquitoes come to your house. You may not be able to control mosquito in the area. I hope you know something. So which one should you focus on? The ones that enter your house. But since you have not controlled what enters your house and they are biting you, it's not even a mystery that you are having malaria every month. It is normal. You have just obeyed the law that is bringing it. Because they are biting regularly. It's a mystery that you are not falling sick after they bite you. That should be the mystery. Hallelujah. Why? Because you can build your immunity such that even when they bite you, they are the ones that will die. It's a function of building immunity. That's what it means. But again, it's a project. You can build it. I know a man of God said that every time he goes hunting in the American forest, that is very allergic to what they call, there's a man they call poison ivy. How many of you have heard of poison ivy? Poison ivy. Okay, that is very allergic to poison. So he breaks out in a rash. He was a faith teacher. So he said, he gave himself a period of 2 years. Began to declare gospel. Whosoever shall say. Until after a while, he will go. The thing will touch his body. He will no longer react. It means his physical body had developed immunity through his words. Hallelujah. I'm always allergic to dust. The normal thing until your faith is able to work is stay away from dust. But if you know you're going to work in that kind of environment and everything, and that's where your work may lead, you know you have to develop immunity against the dust. Or the dust stops you from working. One of the two. The same thing, you can develop immunity against cold. If any small cold, you know when I say any small cold, when I just raise like this, everywhere. You know that's how your system seems to be. Do you know that system that you have is not your fault? It's because of the transgression of Adam. What is your fault is if you allow it to continue. That's where your fault now comes in. Why? You are not responsible for the physical genes that you have from your parents. Hallelujah. You are not responsible because you didn't do anything to be born. You were just born. Because you had no choice when it comes to your parents. So they transferred not just strength but their weaknesses to you too. So there are children who are born. And that's why people still don't understand. We have children who are born with some abnormalities, and we're thinking, is this what God did? How can I be God? No. Those things happen here. Those things are the offshoot of Adam's transgression. Children born blind, born infirm, born lame. All those things are the offshoot of Adam's transgression. When we're studying the subject matter of resurrected body, I told us some children are born, they hardly have ear at all. Some have funny skin pigmentation. Albinism. It's not of God. It's part of Adam's transgression. But it's true. It's not of Adam's transgression. So those things are not things that came from. They came from the fallen nature of mankind, in that sense. Can we use the word of God to stand against it? Yes. We can. We should. We're not responsible that it happened, but we're responsible for whether we change it or not. A child is born asthmatic. You don't resign yourself to the asthma. Since healing is God's will, you apply God's will to the situation, and you're not casual about it. You can only be casual about something if you don't have full facts about it. You know, you will never go and claim any payment or any allowance if you're not fully sure that it's for people like you. You like, I hope, okay. Please check, is my name there? What's your name, sir? Yeah. Is this for this Adrian? Is it from this local government? You're not sure. But when you are sure, I'm closing for break. You're not going anywhere. Sit down here. That's my money. Some people fight more for money than they fight for their health. And the reason is very simple. You don't have enough facts that gives you confidence to stand your ground. Hallelujah. So as we look at God's word, we come out with facts that embolden us to stand our ground that actually, I am not meant to be falling sick. Healing belongs to me in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Say, healing belongs to me in Christ Jesus. Sound health is mine. I walk in sound health all the days of my life. With long life, I am satisfied. I have eternal life, and that eternal life is made manifest as long life. In my 90s, I'll be standing strong. In my 90s, I'll be whole. In my 90s, I'll be strong. Hallelujah. You prophesy into your future. You tell what 90 should be. Not you wait for what 90 will bring. No. In my 90s, my memory will be sharp. My speech clear. In my 90s, I'll be standing ramrod erect. No slouching. No using of stick. You have the right to speak like we. In my 90s, I'll still be driving. Glory to God. In my 90s, I'll be going for crusades. But if you're already seeing the image of them drying you out in the sun, you know there's a problem. Use God's word. Me, I refuse to agree. Moses. Under law. 120. Natural force unabated. Eyesight not dim. The only way he died was by instruction. Go and die. Climb the mountain, climb. Yeah. He said, climb. It's okay there. Stop there. Now die. By instruction. That was the only way he died. No sickness of any kind. He had to be commanded to die before he died. You see? That means man would just have continued. And you have the spirit that fashioned the heavens living inside of you. If the spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he that raised Christ from the dead shall vitalize your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. My body is vitalized. My body is quickened in the name of Jesus. The strength of God dwells in my body. Every cell, every issue, every organ in my body is invigorated by the life of God. I receive strength. My body abhors sickness. It repels diseases. I walk in soundness of body and soundness of mind. I do not fall sick. My kind is never sick. I walk in health all my days. I walk in soundness of body. I walk in soundness of mind. I enjoy healing. Healing is my bread. Hallelujah. Glory to his name forever. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. So you know, as I was led to go in this direction, that we require this teaching along this time, I go, it's important for us to learn certain facts and principles about the fact that healing belongs to us. Glory to his name. So we'll continue next week.